you know about butter pecan ice cream. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, they were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya round Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They are drunk. That's all." We want to share with you the message this morning, the power of Pentecost. The power of Pentecost. You may be seated. How many of y'all enjoyed the mail course this morning? Amen. How many of y'all enjoyed tea in the mail course this morning? Amen, amen. It's good to celebrate the goodness of God and to recognize who we are in God's sight. As I share this message with you today, I want to just first of all state that there's no way that I can declare everything about the power of the Holy Spirit. It would take me to the end of time and even more. And even with that, in my limited ability, I don't have all that there is to talk about this goodness and this power from God Almighty. But what I can tell you is what I have been led by the Holy Spirit and directed by Him to bring out. Because if ever was a time that we needed the power of God in our lives and in our churches and in our communities, that time is now. We're living in a desperate age, and people have become powerless to the things that are around them. We have made ourselves into victims rather than being victors. It seems that every situation that comes along, it knocks us off our feet and we're wondering, what in the world can I do? Well, you're not the only ones that have been to that place. You're not the only ones. The early church struggled. There they saw the death of their Lord and Savior as He hung on the cross. But then He rose again and He had all power, but they didn't know what to do because they were powerless. They were not in a position to move because they felt their own weakness. They felt their own inability to do anything. So there they were, much like the church of today, in an upper room, singing a few praise and worship songs, praying, and just reminiscing about what used to be. But something happened. And what I'm telling you today is that something can happen in your life and mine as we rely on this power from heaven. I was absolutely amazed in studying this verse of what it had to offer and what it has to give to us as believers in Christ. You don't have any way of living for God except through the Holy Spirit. You would fall and I would fall flat on my face. We can make a good confession, but it's hard to walk when you don't have power. It's hard for you to live when you don't have something to live on. You might even say that there were things that needed to happen that had not happened until the Holy Ghost came, until the power from God Almighty came down to this earth and filled the lives of people. Let's get into this and let's look at it. I've got several sermons that I'm going to bring on this. Today I'm talking about the power of Pentecost, but then I need to talk about the people at Pentecost, and I'll deal with that on next Sunday. The people at Pentecost, you don't want to miss it, because it's going to talk about some folks that you never heard of before, Parthians and all of these folks. But it's going to also mention some other crowds. Yeah, it's going to mention some other folk that maybe not listed, but they were there, the seekers and then the sneakers. we're going to talk about the people. But what have we learned so far as we think about how God is getting ready to use a group of folk from Galilee, of all places? How in the world is God going to move upon their lives and help them to progress not only their own personal life, but also the gospel? How is it going to get from Jerusalem into Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth until something happens? Look at somebody, tell them something's got to happen. Pentecost is a journey. It's not an experience. It is a journey. It is something that moves you, that propels you into a different way of life and thinking. The disciples would discover that. They would discover that without Christ, they didn't know what to do. Here they were in a place where they had gathered together for worship, because not only did Jesus tell them to go there, but it was a religious ceremony going on. It was this word Pentecost. It actually deals with the 50th day after the Passover. Now, to a lot of Jews, it's just where the first fruits would come in. And you would offer these first fruits, two loaves. You'd offer them to God, and you would say, God, here they are. This represents what I expect to happen with the rest of my harvest, but I want to give you the first. I want to give you this initial offering because I'm depending on you to make everything else happen. I'll deal with that at the close of the message. But it was a journey. Year after year, they would celebrate this day called Pentecost. And other than waving some offerings by the priests, nothing else was going on. That's it. You say thank you. Didn't know whether God had accepted the offering or not. Then the next year, you'd come back and you'd do the same thing at Pentecost. But on this day, on this day at Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven. And the King James says, as a rushing mighty wind. And it sat upon each one of them. It's a journey that we take. But not only does Pentecost involve that, it also involves your offering. What are you offering God? We think about the Jews that would come in and they would present their grain offering and wave it before the Lord. The priest would, and then they would have that. But what are you offering to God? You need him for everything, but are you giving him anything? And sometimes with the very breath that God gives to individuals, they turn right around and curse his name because they just don't know. They just don't realize how good God is. Pentecost means you're presenting something. You're presenting something, you're offering something, and you're praying that God will accept it because he gave you everything, but all you're giving him is two little measly loaves just to say thank you. And look at all the things that the Lord has done for you. People have problems with tithing. I don't have any problem with tithing because I know that if I give him what he says is his, he's going to bless the rest of it. Do I have any witnesses in here? You're not going to see me up here preaching all the time. Y'all give money. You can give if you want to. If you want to be blessed, then you do it God's way. If you want to have your own way, then you go on about your business. But I'm going to give the Lord what's his. Amen. So we're presenting not only our gifts, but we're presenting our lives. Our lives. Have you ever thought about that? What are you going to do with your life if you don't live it for God? Give it to the devil? Well, he ain't going to pay you back. And if he does, it's going to be with curses. It's going to be with misery. It's going to be with hopelessness. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Pentecost gives you something to think about. It makes you think about our mission. What is our mission? If all we're doing is praising and worship, then what is our mission as a church? We look at the disciples in the upper room, but they didn't stay in the upper room. When the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Bible says they went out. They started at Jerusalem. God stirred up something. My prayer is that God would stir up something in here. Because Lord knows we cannot survive and we cannot do the mission of the church without the living God living among us. Oh, look at somebody, tell them, I'm ready for Pentecost. Look at somebody else and tell them, I'm ready for Pentecost. I want God to do something. I want God. I can't do anything on my own, but I know that he can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I need Pentecost. I'm on a mission. Amen. I'm on a mission. Somebody said, we got to preach the gospel. No, you can live it and preach it. Amen. In this crooked world, if we just had somebody to walk right, if we just had honest folk that won't lie to people, come on, somebody. We need Pentecost. Now, I know some of y'all, you're folding your arms. You're sitting back. I don't tell lies. You just told one. Pentecost means that we're on a journey, we're on a mission, and we're offering our very lives to God. But the third thing, it's a release of power. It's a release of power. Back in the 1970s, there was a movement called the Pentecostal movement. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all weren't born. Okay, I got to remember that. I'm looking at some young folk out there. Say, 19, I wasn't even born. Okay, all right, bear with me. But really, it was a off movement from what they call the Azusa Street Revival in California, where the Holy Spirit started moving and people started getting blessed as a part of that. And you know, we just come out of the hippie movement. You know, we're hippie, you know, everybody going, peace, man. And right along with that, somebody started preaching Jesus. And so they said, you know, we don't need drugs. We got Jesus. He can set us free. And true, he can set us free. But when they got into the Pentecostal movement, it was more about what can God do for me versus if I get this power, what can I do for God? Now, don't get me wrong. He's going to bless you. Any of you that have ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you know that there's nothing like it in this world. You know that he will touch you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. You know that. Some of you have been lonely. Some of you have been confused, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you and let you know that everything would be all right. You can't take a drug for that. You can't take a liquor bottle for that. You can't get a word from your friend from that, but only God can give you that kind of peace and that kind of power. We're not talking about getting the power. We're talking about giving it. For the second time, I think it is. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, You got to get it before you can give it. Amen. You got to get it. That's right. You got to get it. But then lastly, as I move into this, it serves. Notice God's purpose. You're not promoting yourself. You're not saying, look at me. I can jump higher than you. You know, I can do all of these amazing things. It's not about you. God wants you to let your light shine so that others would see him moving in you. Then they're going to give God praise for what he's doing in you. It serves God's purpose. And with that in mind, I want to take you back to that moment in the upper room. We can't recreate it. And really, there's no need to. But what we can do is celebrate it. Everybody say celebrate. We can celebrate what God did then, but we can also celebrate. Remember, that was the first time, but it wasn't the last time he's going to send this power. Because he knew that a few weak folk were going to need something to help them live this life. He knew that a few of us were going to be on our knees by the circumstances of life and saying, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to announce today that the power is still here. That the goodness of God is still here. I'm here to tell you that God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Yeah, God is still able. He is still able, but you got to believe it. You got to believe it for yourself. So I want to deal with three things today. I want to deal with the sounds of Pentecost. We talk about the power of Pentecost, but it manifested itself in a sound. A sound. You just heard a sound. I didn't know that brother could sing like that. Man, that was a sound. Aaron was, man, he's getting back. It's all right. That was a sound. But here is the situation where you have the church unborn. The church could not function because it was not alive yet. You had disciples, those that believed in Jesus, but they had nothing to show them how to really live this thing without Jesus. When he was there, they were able to do what he told them to do. But in his absence, they couldn't do anything except get together in the upper room and pray that something would happen. Boy, that sounds like a church today. But all of a sudden, the 50th day came, and the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind from heaven. Notice it came from heaven. There was not a sound like that on the earth. Every Pentecost, you would have people, they coming in and offering sacrifices. They would come, and they would celebrate, and you'd hear the priest giving his announcement. You'd hear the people praying, but you didn't hear anything that came from heaven. This came out of heaven, and it was like a mighty wind. Why the wind? Why would God choose the wind? The wind represents movement, something being stirred. The wind comes in and it rustles things. You've seen the wind. You've seen it, how it will move the leaves. You've seen it blowing in the tree. You've seen the grass waving because of the wind. And this wind is not just anything. In the Hebrew, it was called ruach, or the breath of God. In the New Testament, it's called the pneuma. Pneuma, God's breath being breathed. Why? Because the church could not move. It was powerless. We're powerless today. Circumstances has got us to the place where I can't do it. What you gonna do? I'm gonna hang in there. You ain't Tarzan. God wants you to do more than just hang in there. He wants you to move. Look at his body, tell him, move. Now, don't get up and leave. You get my point. Rushing mighty wind. The wind also represents life. Adam was lifeless. God had formed him from the clay of the ground. But then God did something amazing that he didn't do with any other creature. He blew into Adam's nostril. And he became a living soul. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I was born by a midwife. Anybody else in here born by a midwife? Delivered by? Okay, we've got a couple of folks in here. Now, in the hospital, I've seen them take the baby and they smack them. You would think that, man, why are they smacking my kid? You know, why are they doing it? They're trying to get them to breathe because they have to get air into their lungs. They have to breathe. They come alive. Now, all of a sudden, you hear this baby crying out because it's alive. The church of all people needs to make some noise. Everybody else getting on YouTube, getting on Facebook, getting on Instagram, getting on Snapchat, getting on what's this other thing? TikTok. And they're saying something, but it does not represent heaven. Now thank God for the few people that are trying to put a verse out there, trying to let somebody know that God is real. But everybody else stayed in their opinion. Well, if I was you, you ain't me. Don't be in my business. But the truth is, the church is the one that God is going to send into this world, but he has to send some wind to bring them to life. Now, all of a sudden, in the upper room, the baby is alive. The church is alive. The church has got something to live on and something to live for because God breathed on me. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. But then that's not the only sound. There's a second sound at Pentecost. Lee, there's a second sound at Pentecost. Now all of a sudden, there's not only this sonic representation of God, but there's this physical, this visible representation of God. All of a sudden, there appeared these things, look, and they couldn't describe them, so they said they looked like tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. And it appeared, but not only did it appear, it sat on them. Now get this now. They heard the wind, but they felt the fire. Y'all didn't get it. Let me talk to the folk over here. They heard the wind, but they felt the fire. What I'm asking you is the Holy Spirit is in you. Do you feel the fire? All right, let me just deal with this fire a little bit. Fire is purification. Throughout the scriptures, used for purification, is used to purify things. It's used to present offerings to the Lord. And when it talks about a whole burnt offering, it's talking about something that has been lit up by fire and offered up to God. Oh, that the church would catch on fire and light up for God. Did you not know that each one of these light bulbs, they have fire? It's burning. But Jesus didn't look for the light bulb when he said, I need a light in the world. He looked to you. And he looked to me. He said, you are the light of the world. But how am I going to light up somebody, Jesus, if I'm not lit up, Tony? I need something to light me up. And when you get the Holy Spirit, what I'm telling you is that you will have the fire on the inside. I wish I could preach like I'm feeling today. But here's the second sound. Here's the second sound. Now we've seen the, or we've heard the first sound, the wind. But now we hear the tongues. I know some folk, they, you know, we're in a Baptist church. Some folk don't believe in tongues. Yeah, you don't believe in speaking in tongues. You believe in cussing. You don't believe in tongues. Lay folk out. Call them everything but a child of God. Don't believe in tongues, though. No, dude, that's against my religion. Y'all hear me preaching in here. But notice it said the Spirit gave them this ability because the Spirit had something it wanted to do. It wasn't just coming to bring the church to life. It was coming to use the church to speak to the world. Tell the world something. There was the sound, and it was not the wind that caught the crowd's attention. It was the glossolalia. people speaking in other language. We get our word glossary. You know, we have a lot of words in there, and it's called a glossary. They were given this ability from the Holy Spirit to speak in every language on the face of the planet. They were given that ability because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit had come into their lives and now had taken over their tongue. By the way, the cure for cussing, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I guarantee you. He'll grab your tongue every time when you get ready. You'll be singing, something got a hold of me. Yeah, the Holy Spirit got a hold of you. He knew what you were going to say. Yeah, look at somebody, tell them, don't say that. So now they're communicating. They don't realize that they're communicating except for the fact that the Spirit is directing them. And then there's a response. The crowd starts saying, wait a minute. I'm from Parthenia. I'm from Macedonia. And I'm hearing them speak my language. Can I just tell you that the church is actually at a place where we're speaking a foreign language? And people don't understand us? But when you get the Holy Spirit and you start living it with your life, then you can be understood by the world. You know, you throwing up your hand and praise the Lord. People don't know what's wrong with you. They say something happened to them. I don't know what's wrong with them. They done stepped off. But when you start telling them plainly, God is a good God. You ought to try Him. God is the answer to your problem. You need to try Him. And when you start communicating with them, then they will look up and say, wait a minute, you're speaking my language. Did you not know that somebody had to tell you in order for you to get it? How did they do that? What convinced you? It was the Holy Spirit working in your life and in our lives to bring us to God. I got to hurry up and close. Yeah, somebody let me know when a half hour go by. I ain't got no time. I don't have any time to... help me out. Y'all wave your hand. You know how you do sometimes. You put the thing up and walk out of church. All right, do that. Do that for me. Help the preacher out. The response was they were completely amazed. They were completely amazed, and they said, how can this happen? These are Galileans. And yet, these untrained Galileans are now speaking in a language that we can understand. That's the church. That's the place where God would want us to be, filled with the Holy Spirit and yet communicating in a way so that everybody can get it. Now, everybody's not going to go along with it. But it won't be on your shoulders because you didn't tell them. You told them the truth. And the Bible said the truth will set you free. Are y'all with me? Let me hurry up and close this message as I share with you, because there's a third sound I want to bring out in just a minute. And that third sound, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. You hold on for just a little bit. Amen. So what do we learn? The purpose of Pentecost. Number one, to acknowledge the wave offering of Jesus. Thousands of years had gone by. People had offered sacrifice and they never got an acknowledgement from heaven until the day of Pentecost had come. They wave their offering, they take their two loaves, give it to the priest, and the priest will come out, bless you. And they would say, okay, I'll go home and I'll depend on God to answer the rest of it. But when the day of Pentecost came, an offering had been made to God that had never been offered before. 50 days earlier, when Jesus was on that cross, He was waving His gift to God on our behalf. Dying for your sins, bruised for your iniquities. You never looked at it that way, did you? He was your wave offering. Everything that you would bring as a grain offering to God, it couldn't please God. And every time you would bring, or the Jews would bring those offerings to God, the Lord would look at it and say, okay, that's going to work for now, but I got something better. Because we had nothing to offer, He offered Himself. And when He offered Himself, God said, I'm pleased with it. But He waited 50 days, Miss Kavla. I said he waited 50 days because he wanted to get everybody into Jerusalem to celebrate what his son had done. And on that 50th day, the Holy Spirit came in, because if you read the verse in Acts chapter 2, it said they heard them speaking about the wonderful acts of God. Well, what wonderful act are they talking about? They're talking about how Jesus died for you, rose again, and sent back the power so you can live for him. That's what they were celebrating. It is to acknowledge the wave offering. Every offering in the Bible is a type of Christ, because it represented the fulfillment of everything that was required. God said, now you've got to have this sin offering. You've got to have this trespass offering. You've got to have this peace offering. If you want to live for me, you've got to have these offerings. And though they would do it over and over again until Jesus came on the cross, and once and for all, he gave himself for you and me. Well, why don't we offer in the church? What can you offer that's going to be better than Christ? And matter of fact, you do celebrate his offering, because every communion Sunday, we talk about his body and his blood. He gave everything for you. Clap your hands, all you people. The purpose of Pentecost is not only that, but to empower the church for God's harvest. Says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Nobody's working in the field until Pentecost. Nobody's getting the job done until the Holy Spirit comes. And you know how it is. You know, I was CEO of an organization. I found out, you know, I would come in and at work, you know, sometime half hour, you know, maybe, you know, an hour late. And I found out that the staff got there 5 minutes before I did. If you ain't there, why the boss is away? But the point is, you're powerless. People say, what I'm going to do for God? You can't do anything for God until he empowers you. These disciples were powerless. They were fearful because of the Jews. But now, all of a sudden, these fearful folk come out of the upper room and say, hey, we got something. We got something, and we're going to tell the world about what God is doing. Why? Because there was a harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, souls are dying every day without Christ. And I'm asking you, the church, what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about this situation of people leaving this world and not having any hope? We got to tell them. Tell them by the way you live. Tell them by the way that you act. Now, if you're acting like they're acting, they say, well, you know better off than I am. But not only that, it's to equip the church with power. Jesus said that in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power, both authority and ability. You will receive this power to be my witnesses, beginning at Jerusalem, going into all Judea, and into Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. The last thing is to fill every believer with power. Jesus told the disciples before he left, he said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but shall be in you. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that there was no Holy Spirit before Pentecost. There was. But it would come upon people temporarily. Temporarily. For instance, it came upon David when he stood against Goliath. The Holy Spirit came upon him, gave him the ability to kill the giant. But it was not resident inside of you. When Pentecost came, that's when the Holy Spirit came in and occupied your life. As I close, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with God's power? What's your plan? You plan on using it? Or you plan on getting in front of a bunch of people? I got just as much Holy Ghost as you got. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to glorify him. They went out with that power that we had. Real quick, before we close, and then I'm going to get to the last sound of Pentecost. Y'all ready for it? Last sound of Pentecost coming up in a minute. It's for prayer. You don't even know what you should pray for, Romans 8:26. You don't even know what you should pray for and how you should pray without the Holy Spirit. But when you're praying, there's this thing called promptings. He will prompt you to pray. He will move you to pray. How many of y'all ever gotten up at night and you wonder, and say, Lord, why am I waking up? Then God would all of a sudden put upon you the impression to pray. He would even bring a face before you and said, pray for this person. That's because you have the Spirit living in you, and God wants you to use it in prayer. If you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, it is for living. Living for God. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes not but to steal and kill, but I have come that you might have life. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and what? The life. Here's something different between you and me, and you probably didn't realize this. The Greeks would try to say that God would come upon man, and they used the word Zoe. Zoe, the life of a God was in man. The Bible, when it uses that word Zoe, it talks about the life of the living God. You got to have life in order to give life. A stone statue cannot give you life, but the giver of life, he can. This same God, with that same power, came down in your life, and now he fills you with the life of God. How good is that? So when we have people coming to Christ, when you have people getting saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in them. No, it's not the rushing mighty wind. You're not going to see the tongues of fire because that was for the birth of the church. But you will see the visible representation of a person that says, you know what? God is in my life. I'm asking you this question today. Is God in your life? If God is in your life, you should show some sign that he's alive in you. I'm going to get to that sound in just a minute. I know y'all waiting on it, amen? And I'm going to get there. Take me a long time. I'm slow. I'm preaching now. It's old preaching now, but I'm going to take my time, amen? Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. And I've shared that verse several times. And I've always used the references of Jerusalem, Judea, but I'm going to talk about Evington, Lynchburg, Campbell County, Appomattox, amen. Bedford County, where else I need to go? Lynch Station, where else I need to call it out? Amen. Concord, where else I need to go? Amen. You need the Holy Spirit. My grandma was right when she said, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. What are you doing? You're being a witness for the Lord. You're letting people know that God is alive. You don't have to hold them up. You don't have to beat them with the Bible. But all you can tell them, God is good. He can make a way out of no way. But here's the last thing I want to tell you about this. Church, we need the Holy Spirit for victory. We've been losing too many battles. We've been losing battles because some of them we've been fighting ourselves. Y'all help me out in here. But your enemy is the devil, and the devil's going to win every time unless you stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, devil, I'm not taking this. I was reading in the book the other day. You don't have to get out there and say, I'm going to pound the devil into the ground. You just have to resist him. Do you not know that you have something on you that every time you allow the Spirit of God in you that resists the devil, he'll push him back, amen? Every time you mention the name of Jesus, fear has got to go. Every time you start lifting your hands and saying, God, I thank you for what you've done for me, the disbelief has got to go. Every time you start singing the song, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, he never failed me yet. Doubt has to go. When you begin to give God his praise, everything else will remain silent. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. All of a sudden, the crowd got it. Why? How did the crowd get it? Because at the end of the day, David, 5,000 people were saved. That meant somebody believed, which produced the third sound. And the third sound is the sound of praise. When true praise is given, it's given in thanks. God wanted, I wish I had somebody to do. God wanted to get some praise from the crowd. He'd gotten the wave offerings, but now he wanted somebody to lift their hands and say, God, I thank you for bringing me out of darkness. I thank you. you for taking my feet out of the mire of clay. But let me be real today. I thank you for delivering me from drugs. I thank you for getting me off of alcohol. I thank you for getting me out of the street and out of the club. Now I'm satisfied because I got Jesus. And that's enough. Anybody know that he's a way maker? Can you tell him thank you? Anybody know he's a burden bearer? Can you tell him thank you? Wave to him. Wave to him. Wave to him. And say, Lord, if it had not been for you. I would have lost my mind. The devil thought he had me. But then Jesus set me free. I thank God. I thank God. I'm a witness. Bernard, I'm a witness for the Lord. God started the day, Aaron, with a wind. Then he got some people to speak a language to help the other folk. But at the end of the day, he heard a praise coming up from the earth. He heard a praise of people saying, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we lift you up. And I want to tell you that if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, every now and then, a praise is going to come up in your heart. And you can't keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody how good, how kind, how great God is, how great thou art. Oh, I'm finished preaching. I'm getting ready to sit down. We getting ready to give our offering. I'm finished preaching. But I tell you what, when you get the fire, you got to let somebody know. I'm on fire for the Lord. And when you're on fire, oh yeah, you got to tell somebody how good God is. Can you say yeah? Can you say yeah? Can you say yes? Hey! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know some of y'all online, some of the folks online saying, well, what's going on at Crossroads? What's going on there? You ought to be here, but if you're not here, the Holy Ghost will
hey!
Ah! Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Before I take my seat, we had a deacon here at Crossroads. He would sing this song every now and then.
Hey!
You know, when people would ask him, what in the world's going on? He would start off, said, I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I
couldn't keep it to myself.
Oh, I
couldn't keep it to myself.
Oh, I
couldn't keep it to myself.
Oh, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I
couldn't keep it to myself.
What? Brother Joe's going to come and bless the offering. Yeah. But before he comes and blesses the offering, in the country, we'd always wave at folk. You wave at folk, wave at folk. That's because we got their attention. But now, you got God's attention. Wave at him. Wave at him. Wave at him. Wave at him. Tell him thank you. Wave at him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Every gift that you present in Christ, including this offering that you will bring today, that's a wave offering. Because of Jesus Christ and because of your love for him, what an amazing God we serve. Thank God for Pentecost. But open the doors of the church with everyone today, everyone today. Maybe you're online and you can't come in here, but you can bow right where you are and say, you know what, preacher, I need that power in my life. I'm weak. I don't have anything to fight the devil. I can't pray or get confused. If that's you today, know that the living God wants to give you his spirit so you can have fellowship with him. If you're in here, you can come forward and confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Ask him to give you that power.
Jesus,
so that you can live for his glory.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the way.
God bless you.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. For him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer.
For the offering of God that we are about to distribute to you. It belongs to you, all of it. We pray, dear God, that you bless it so that men and women, boys and girls, as we have heard today, that you have given us the power to go out and to share Christ with others so they can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Now may the Lord bless you. Face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Oh, may the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day.